This is a download from the Scottish Railway Preservation Society.
Just putting some lights on the engine now. We've got two lights showing it's a passenger train.
This is Soundbox, a magazine for railway enthusiasts around the world, coming to you from Bowness in Scotland.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Soundblast, the Scottish Railway Preservation Society's download, the totally non-visual magazine. I'm Sandy Simpson, and I'm right here on the platform in Bowness in central Scotland with the indefatigable David Bytheway, the editor, producer and roving reporter for Soundblast. This is the July 2012 Diesel Gala. We're here on the Saturday afternoon, and growling behind me you can hear one of the two visiting 66s. In fact, this one is 66727, which is the property of GB Rail Freight. Coalash Rail 66840 is also here. We'll hear more from 66727 in a few minutes' time. Now, extra locals and additional trains mean extra staff. And in addition to the regular volunteers, the youth group was pressed into very willing service. We hear them now being briefed by Time On before they started their day's work.
Good morning, everyone. What we're going to do today is we're going to go and speak to the public on the train. There are five coaches on this train, so it works out very nicely. We'll have one of you in each coach. And if you can be responsible for answering any questions that the adults may care to ask you, and make sure that you have a plastic bag in your possession so that you can keep the coach clean of any sort of litter that's dropped around. And that's basically
it. Aboard!
Extra trains, extra staff, and extra visitors from all over Britain. Some of them spoke of their reason for travelling as the train made its way from Bowness to Manual.
Can I ask you just what is the attraction of diesels?
It was my sort of era, because I wasn't too young for steam, and it's just the different sounds and designs of them.
Mm-hmm. What's so special about the Class 66?
It's not one of my special ones, but I prefer more of the 37s, the older sort of ones, not the modern ones. It's more alright, but not as...
Go on then, tell me what's the magic of the Class 37?
The noise.
Can I ask you, what's the attraction of diesels?
Well, I think in these days, for our age group, steam was obviously the major importance, but now, as there is so little in the way of steam left, our interests have turned to diesel. It's just the variation to continue our hobby, really.
And you can ask you what's your...
Well, mine's similar sort of thing. I grew up with steam, being pretty old. But if you want to continue travelling around on the railways in the last 50 years, then you ain't got steam, basically. So your interest carries on with diesels or electric, for that matter.
What about the Class 66? What do you think? Well,
that's a big bonus for us to come. I mean, for me personally, I'm a big 66 fan. We do them for haulage, and I've had well over 200 of the class. And of course, they only work freight trains. So the fact that you've got two, the Colas one and the GBRF one, but we've made our way up from the Midlands as much as anything for the 66s. So yeah, they were a big plus for us.
At Manual, the photographers became very excited as 66727 ran round its train preparatory for the return journey to Bowness, and the photographers clamoured to get pictures.
This is Nikon D90. Just getting a nice picture of it right on the buffer stop. Just so you can see how far you can actually get down the line.
Yeah, it's a powerful lens there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is this the way you spend your weekends, hanging out of carriage windows?
Not all the time, no. It's mainly sometimes to find a different preserve railway to visit.
Yeah. It's a Class 66 that's on the front of this train. What's so special about that?
It's the fact that I've never been hauled by this locomotive mm-hmm. before. Sometimes I try to get as many of the same class as you can. Mm-hmm. Other times it's just the location and sometimes the journey, maybe even the track. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've often gone for just doing the track mileage. Mm-hmm. A lot of preserve lines have got many sidings you don't often visit, mm-hmm. and to get as far as you can, you know, you can take them off and the track plan books. Mm.
Yeah, the mainline sprinter there.
Yep.
Did you get it, or was it too fast?
Sometimes you get them.
Very quiet as you must have.
Alas, on a gala day, well, it would be a proper gala day without a hiccup, would it? And a problem developed in the break in the guard's end of the train on its return journey from Manuel. This meant the train had to stop en route between Birkhill and Kinneil while an examination was carried out to determine the cause of the problem.
It's slowing down going down the hill.
After an inspection, it was decided that it was safe to continue to Bowness, although the affected brake end had a flat tyre, as you can hear very plainly as it goes bump, bump, bump. It's a bit like a throbbing bit on a railway line. David, by the way, our intrepid roving reporter, caught up with Stuart A. Seller, who is the RO, the responsible officer for the programme today, hardly recognising him as his grey-haired, haggard figure was wearing the weight of his responsibilities. Here's David.
Okay. Stuart, could you just paint a picture for me? Tell me what happened on that train.
The first train using the rail tour coaches coming back from Manuel had a problem with the wheels, and they had to stop and examine the coach and found a problem with some dragging brakes, which were released. When we had a look at the vehicle when it got back to Bowness, we've had to knock it out and replace it with a spare, which we had in the yard. So
did that take a lot of work?
It's taken a couple of hours to sort out, yeah. We've had to make some alterations to the timetable to run something else while we would have been running that train. But we're sort of back in track now, and hopefully we'll make a bit of time up.
What will happen to the damaged coach?
We'll need to have a closer look at it tomorrow. We might need to take the wheel sets out and send them away for reprofiling. That's the worst case scenario. We might be able to repair the damage in situ. We'll need to have a closer look and see.
Any damage done to the track?
I hope not. I haven't had a look, so I couldn't say. I wouldn't have thought so. Mm-hmm.
But you managed to make up on lost time, have you?
Not yet, no. We're running late at the moment, so we'll need to see how the rest of the day goes and maybe make some more alterations mm-hmm. to the timetable.
What about the enthusiasts, the people who've come to see the event today? Are they upset by this, or is it an extra added attraction?
Nobody's complained so far. There's some people concerned about the late running, and they might not get to see the shunters running later on, which is the main thing they came for. So we're going to have a look at how things pan out for the rest of the afternoon, maybe make some more changes. But so far we've run everything we've promised, we've just done it in a different order.
As happens on any railway when there's a problem with coaching stock, the timetable goes out the window.
Ladies and gentlemen, to inform you of a timetable change, the next train will be the 220, and the 47 will go after the 26 service. Thank you.
Fortunately, ticket sales are more dependent on the locomotive hauling the train on a day like this than on the actual timetable.
Could I get a day rover for the diesel gala, please?
Certainly, that's £20, please.
Thank you. And that allows journey on any trains?
Yes, for the rest of the day, yeah.
Thank you very much.
There's little doubt that the sight of GBRF's 66727 hauling passenger trains was one of the big attractions of the day. And we caught up with the local and with driver John Thompson as they set off for manual. Well, now I'm on board the 66727 and I'm with driver John Thompson. John, describe this locomotive to me. What's it like to drive and what are all these controls in front of you?
It's quite a modern locomotive. I think many of my colleagues would agree that it's not very pleasant to drive. The cab's a bit of an ergonomic disaster, in my opinion, which is a big word, but it's a very good locomotive to pull trains, very reliable, very strong, pull the house down. But the cab leaves a bit to be desired. It's not the most comfortable loco I've ever worked on.
You look, to my mind, to be just a little bit further away from the windscreen than I'd expected you to be.
Yep, it's a different type of desk, well, the design of cab. Normally, at the older locomotives, you sat at a desk, the controls were on top of a desk, whereas this is open, with the controls at the side, as you can see.
How's it like for ventilation? It's nice and cosy at the moment on a fairly cold Bonnet
day. Yeah, it's the problem with it is the lack of ventilation. More modern locomotives, or the more modern versions of these locomotives we have, have got air conditioning. This one doesn't, because it's a wee bit muggy.
I seem to recall a driver of yesteryear telling me that whilst the Class 37 was a wonderful locomotive to drive, it was also the draftiest engine he'd ever been in.
Yep, I'd agree with that. Yeah, I worked on them for many years, and that's true.
Okay, let's ask a little about yourself. Where's home?
Motherwell.
You're in Motherwell?
Yep.
And when did you join GBRF?
7 years ago.
7 years ago?
Yeah, yeah. From Virgin.
From Virgin?
Yeah. 27 years in total, starting in BR.
I hate to tell you this, but you're the driver. Someone's revving up your engine.
Yeah, that's actually making air. Which alarms quite a lot of people, especially when somebody's in between coupling on or off. This type of locomotive has a directly driven air compressor which is bolted to the engine, so when it wants air, it revs the engine
okay.
up.
Now she's got a very light load on today by her standards, I would think. What, 6 coaches? 5 coaches?
300 tonnes, nothing at all to
something
this.
Of that order. Your more normal load would be?
2,500. I've pulled 3,008 tonnes with two of these, but it's a complete non-event.
And they can work in multiple?
Yes, you can put 250 of these together in multiple. You get as many as you like. If you had as many, if you had all the EWS 66s lined up together, you could multi them all up together.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
Okay, I noticed he's named Andrew Scott, CBE. Can you tell me about Andrew?
He was the former head of the National Railway Museum, and when he's retired, we named an engine after
That's
him.
That's very nice indeed.
Yeah.
And this engine is based...
It's based loosely in Peterborough. That's one of the maintenance locations. But generally, they don't have a home shed anymore. It normally works out of the northeast. In fact, it's been doing coal trains all week and came straight off one at 4 o'clock this morning.
But not coal trains in Scotland.
Sometimes. Sometimes we go to Hunterston and back.
Yeah. And where did it come in from this morning?
It came from Tyne Dock. It arrived from Drax Power Station at the Tyne Dock about 4 o'clock this morning and came directly to Bonnet.
And you cycled over from Motherwell?
No, I came in a car, but a wee bit wet for the bike.
Just a thought. And one final question. These locos in Scotland, the only work I can think of regularly with them, well, I can think of two, can't I? You work from Leith Docks to the power station at Long Annet.
Yeah.
And also the alumina trains.
Yes. We operate, GBRF operate the alumina trains, and you'll probably know that we're one loco short at the moment.
And it's sort of lying in the West Highlands.
Yes,
someone's trying to work out how you lift 127 tonnes.
Yes.
Which is lying at right angles to the railway line.
Yep, we're on a bank, so above a loch.
John, thank you very much indeed. We'll let you attend to the duties now.
Okay,
thanks John.
Cheers.
And what you can hear behind us, apart from an idling 66, is a Class 26 arriving at the head of the last remaining Class 303 set. Pressed into service here, of course, not as an electric unit, but as a set of carriages. The 26 is a privately owned engine, 2638, which is on loan to the Bowness Railway for the next 12 months. She's externally absolutely magnificent, and mechanically she certainly sounds not bad at all. And the coaches he was hauling, as I say, is the last remaining Class 303 set. It's actually a lash-up of coaches from, I think it's three sets. I think it's actually three sets and it has had no restorative work carried out on it yet at all. So two of the carriages are in the former Strathclyde Passenger Transport Executive's orange and black, and the centre coach is in, I think they called it plum and spilt milk, didn't they? Better known to railway enthusiasts as blood and custard. And coming into the platform now, ready to form the next train, but only as far as Caneal, is a North British-built diesel shunting engine, D2767, an 040 from the days of the British Rail 1955 modernisation plan, with three coaches, normally referred to here as the branch line set, and on the tail as she comes into the platform here, but of course to be the leading engine out of the station, is a Class 8 shunting engine, which is also the property of the society. This, my memory serves, is D3556, and as they draw to a standstill, there's a goodly number of people willing to join a train handled top and tail by two ex-British Rail shunting locomotives. Scott Cameron now, who's going to be driving the Class 8 on the service. Scott, tell us a little about the Class 8.
Well, the Class 8 was the British Rail standard shunter. It's quite an old train now. It's an English Electric built in the Vulcan foundry. It served its time on British Rails and then went into industry, and in time we've got it for preservation.
And there it is, and I got its number wrong. Of course, it's D3558, not as I said earlier. And she's not often in passenger carrying service, is she?
Not often, no. As a shunter, she's usually used in the yard for, obviously, shunting, as she was designed to do.
And what about D2767 on the rear?
Problematic. One word, problematic.
Problematic, I see. Well, we won't go into that because it was built in Glasgow. So, thanks, Scott. Enjoy your trip.
Thank you.
And having travelled up on the cab of 66727, we're travelling back to Bowness on the cushions. And that pretty well wraps up this edition of Soundblast. You can contact us online at www.srps.org.uk/soundblast, or lowercase, that's www.srps.org.uk/soundblast. Or you can write to us at Soundblast, two words this time with initial capitals, Soundblast, SRPS, Union Street, Bowness, West Lothian, EH519AQ, Scotland. The editor and producer has been David Bytheway, and I'm Sandy Simpson, wishing you all that you wish yourself from everyone here on the Bowness and Kiel Railway, which is part of the Scottish Railway Preservation Society at Bowness in Scotland.